from Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, Aaron, and welcome into our program, the weekend edition of Life Change. And I trust you're having a good week. And don't forget, Monday through Friday, we have our Bible study that goes on, and we're thankful for many of you that listening to our programs Monday through Friday, studying the Word of God. On Saturday, of course, we have guests in. We have people that are colleagues of ours that come in and share on Saturday, talking about their life, talking about their testimonies, what God is doing in their hearts and lives. Thank you so many of you that have sent us emails and notes. We appreciate hearing from you. And I want to say a special shout out today to those who are in East Africa who listen to the program. We thank the Lord for all of you. Some of you are students that we help minister to, and we appreciate all of you as well. My very good friend, in fact, my neighbors, John Janko. John and I live not just too many yards away from each other, do we?
That's right.
And I met John a little over a year ago, and John has had quite a ministry. I guess, John, you don't mind me saying that you're 90 years old, is that right? And your dear wife is 91?
Tis true.
Well, you really, I mean, I watch you around this neighborhood. You're all over the place, so we can learn from you. How did you stay so healthy and strong?
Well, that's a good question. I would have to say God. Mm. You know, growing up as a young boy, I went through the normal, dangerous times of nearly dying from drowning. But God. I look back and, you know, one of the scriptures says he saw you before you were born and scheduled each day of your life before you began to breathe. I realized that to be a truth. All of us, every day is scheduled by God. And I went through the times, as you will, all of us do. And I remember those days when supernaturally God spared my life. And I remember those days as time went on and I grew up into my teenage years, the lessons I had to learn in the journey that God needed me to learn if I was going to become the man he wanted me to be. And one comes to mind, my brother and I were probably not teenagers yet. We were a little younger than that. We were probably 10, 11, 12. We had a neighbor boy who had epilepsy. We didn't know it was epilepsy back then. We called it fits. We called him, his name was Louis Fitz, we called him. And what would happen to him is we'd be walking along and suddenly Louis would become a different person. He would become stiff. He would snort and he would drool. And he would tighten up and fall to the ground. It was frightening to see. I mean, you're 10, 12 years old. You know, what do you do with that? And Louis had to suffer that. When we told my father that Louis, this happened, he said, well, boys, I want you to pay attention now. When Louis goes into that fit, if you're with him, don't let him fall. Don't let him fall. You hold him up. But here's snot running out of his nose and distorted face, just twisted out of shape. But he said, you don't let him fall. Well, the next time we walked and Louis went into one of these epileptic seizures, my brother Peter, who was a year older than I, we pinned him against the wall, the house, you know, buildings in New York City, all brick buildings. We pinned him against, put our arms under his arm, and we held Louis up. Otherwise, Louis would have fallen as he usually does and ride in the streets and embarrassed himself. We wouldn't let him fall. And in a matter of moments, 15 seconds, Louis was back, and we just picked up and walked along, never said a word. But I remember that lesson, compassion, don't let him fall. And with that, I took that into my own life when I became a minister. You know, the overriding move in my own heart was don't let them.
That's beautiful.
Hold people up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And John, you were a minister up in the New England states for quite a while, weren't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I served in the state of Vermont, and only in Vermont, really. Well, as pastors. For 66 years.
How many churches?
Not many, maybe five, six, maybe. Mm-hmm. But always I pastored two churches at the same time. Mm-hmm. It seemed in New England, at one point, there were three churches in every community. Mm-hmm. When I got there as a young man, there still were three churches, only one was open. And the rest had closed. There had been a spiritual drought, and New England was known as the frozen chosen, or if there was any there. And when I went there, it was that way. But God had prepared a journey for us. And so we stayed in that area.
Over 6 years pastoring these churches.
Hmm?
Over 60 years pastoring these churches. 60 years.
60, yeah, but more like 60, 66 years, because I retired a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, I retired many times.
You don't look retired to me, John.
Yeah, I know.
We're listening into Life Change Week, and this is Dina Padron chatting with you, my good friend John Jenko. What denomination were these churches, John?
You know, it's interesting. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, an Italian church downtown Manhattan, and it was called the Unorganized Italian Christian Church of North America.
That sounds like an Italian, John. Yeah, we're Italians. We can say that.
That joined, eventually they joined the Italian Assembly of God, which then became one with the Assembly of God. And so I grew up under that culture and ministry. And when I came out of school, I had my license to preach with the Assemblies of God, but that only lasted for a year. But God had other plans for me. And I look back now, and God is amazing in his dealing with his people. What one could have called a disaster, because three of us ministers stood up to the presbyter of the assembly and said, something didn't fit. And we made it known that there was a better way of treating young ministers than voting them out of their churches when they're not there and sending them away with their families. We just did. God was in that. Mm-hmm. And their response to us was, you are being insubordinate, and therefore you must repent. And we said, repent of what? Having a different idea than yours? And with that, God was at work. Mm. And I became part of the Independent Assembly of God. And from there, opened the doors to minister in Methodist churches, Congregational churches, any church. Mm-hmm. Because we were now independent servants of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So was there any of those denominations that was your preference? Did you enjoy Congregational more than Methodist, or Methodist more than the Assemblies, or are they all about the same?
Well, when I was in that position of pastoring a Methodist, a yoke church, it was Methodist UCC. And by that time, both of those churches were starting to drift into a secular gospel. Mm-hmm. And so I felt God's call was, as the prophets of old, go call them back to me. Mm-hmm. And so when I was, by God's design, invited to pastor those churches, which the hierarchy did not want me to do, by the way. They would not sanction me, but God. And so when I was there, I spent 10 years trying to bring the church back into fellowship, the conference back into fellowship, but they would have none of that. And at that point,
that took 10 years doing that. Wow.
Yeah. And at that point, I said, how can two walk together unless they agree? And you're going too far down the road of anti-biblical teaching. I can't walk with you anymore. Not because I don't love you, but I can't walk with you anymore. And so we withdrew from that. So when you say which one did I enjoy more, it wasn't a question. I could not fit at that time with where they were. What my joy was in fellowshipping with anyone who loved Jesus and who was of like mind. And so there were some pastors who were Methodists who loved the Lord. And I loved them and they loved me. But the conferences were drifting. And they're pretty well gone now. And it's kind of sad.
I want to pick up on that in just a moment here, John. We're so glad you're listening into our program today, Life Change Weekend. I want to encourage you about a book. The man who runs our international ministry is named Rick Ramsey. He's put out his second volume of Marks in My Bible. The name of his title is Marks in My Bible, and he talks about places that he marked, and he's put two volumes on devotions together, John. It's an excellent piece, and I would encourage you to get the book. And you can actually order it directly from me. You don't have to write to our office to get it. You can get it directly from him if you wish. And if you like devotional readings, if you like devotional commentaries, this is one that you need to really have in your library. You can get it for a total of $25, including the by the shipping. And the place to write to is Post Office Box 111, Fairfield, Virginia 24435. That's Post Office Box 111, Fairfield, Virginia 24435. And if you would just, that's $25, you can get a hold of Rick directly there. You don't need to write to us to get it. And we encourage you. It's a wonderful devotional book. That's the second that he has put out. We're talking today to John Jenko, and John has had quite a ministry of, if you just joined us, John is 90 years of age, over 60 years of ministry. And you've been married how many years, John?
68.
You got these numbers pretty accurate. Should I check them with Ruth, or are they?
No,
that's a fantastic ministry that you've had, John. Let me ask you this. I want to pick up on what you were saying there. It seems like I was in a Bible conference the other day, John, and a question was asked by a man who was 80, 81 years old, something like that, wonderful man. He said, I used to hear the word soul a lot, but he said, pastors don't talk about the soul like they used to. They don't talk about the gospel like they used to. And he was talking about the concern that he had about that. And of course, this is a man, John, not saved as long as you were, but he's saved for many, many years. He and his dear wife are precious people. Do you think that's correct around America? We have a lack of gospel in America? What's your thinking on that?
A lack of gospel. Well, yeah, I guess it all depends on where you live. I hate to put a blanket statement that says, yes, we have a lack of gospel, when I know there are folks out there who are preaching the good news day in, day out. There are ministers on the radio, on TV, who are preaching good news. It's out there. Do we have enough of it? The issue is not, do we have enough of it? Do we have enough people who are willing to listen to it and respond to it? That's, I think you can pick up a Bible anywhere. That's gospel. You can turn your radio on anytime and you'll hear gospel. You can hear it today. The good news is there for those who want to hear it, for those who don't. You know, it's like Jesus comes into the world. Talk about gospel being available. He comes into the world and he is the gospel. But they killed him. They couldn't see him. He's right in front of them, but they could not. So people hear the gospel, but it does not register in their soul, in their hearts, in their minds. They're blinded by the sin of this world. They're blinded. And so it's like light. light can be all around you, but if you close your eyes, you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so do we need the gospel to be preached? Of course. Do we need more of it? We need more people to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the book I just wrote, and I'm saying to myself, it has no value at all unless somebody reads it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's out there. Your word is out there. The message is out there. But it has no real effect upon it until they feed on it, until mm-hmm. they eat it, until they receive it, until they have that life change that this whole, that's mm-hmm. the name of this program,
yeah.
Life change.
So what do you see as changes in your 66 years of ministry? What are some of the changes you see in churches today?
The changes. There's a verse of scripture comes to mind, whether it's in Isaiah or not, where it said, remove not the ancient landmarks.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, you know, the landmarks were stones along the way that marked the territorial land. And the message was, you don't touch those.
Mm-hmm.
Those are there. They have a reason to be there. Mm-hmm. I think in the life of the church, we have to accommodate the world around us. The church has moved some of the old landmarks. It says, thou shalt not. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. We've taken those out and say, well, maybe you can.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can adjust it just a little bit to fit this new society. It's a new world, a new culture. Everything changes. You got to change. This gospel has to change. And that was the beginning of the downward slide, when the church has lost its power and its identity. And it began to do I think it's the book of Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When the church began to conform to the world, it lost its mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it lost its power, and it lost its identity. And that's why I think when I came into the ministry as a young, 2 out of 3 churches in Vermont were closed. Mm-hmm. How did that ever happen?
Mm-hmm.
Why did it happen? And when I went to open a church, it was a Methodist church that was closed. But it was right there, ready for me. I said, God, you must have prepared this church for me when mm-hmm. I went to Randolph. And I went to the district superintendent and I said, I would like to open this church and preach the gospel. And he said, we don't need you. There's one church in town, that's enough. So I went to the Episcopal church that was closed. And I said, here's who I am. Here's the gospel I preach. I would love to use this church. There's a new school, a new college right here in town. I was a young man. I said, I'll minister to these kids. And I got a letter back from the bishop saying, if we let you use this church, we would have to deconsecrate it. I said, what do you mean? What sickness do I have? What am I bringing? And he said, that's the law. The gospel was not according to their liking, whatever that meant. But it's interesting, that church burned down empty. And the Methodist church is used as a student hall for the college, but the gospel is no longer preached there. Mm. But that's where the church went. I think it began to conform to the world and lost its identity as a holy church, the presence of God being abiding in it. And that was a sad decline. So it was a matter of revival, bringing back the Spirit of the Lord into the house of God and cleaning house and starting new, which is what we found, that where the gospel was being preached, Spirit of the Lord was moving, people were getting saved, and the word was out there, the gospel was there.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, John, I trust many are listening to this today because I think you speak with experience, but you speak such truth. I know the church where I'm pastoring right now, there's quite a story I read in its history. We're doing a history month in February. and the church was in a certain denomination that was going woke. This was years ago, before we talked about woke. And they're starting to go yoke, and the pastor took a stand about it. Then I read the correspondence from the denomination and other people. Oh, did they ever rake him over the coals? It was a very challenging time. And I called him and talked to him about that. He's still living in Utah, Salt Lake City area. And he told me briefly about it. I didn't want to talk a lot about it. He said, the church, we did it. He said it was a very difficult time. I think it was tough for him to talk about it because how difficult it was. But he did the right thing, and that's kind of like what you've been through. And I find that true today in some churches. There are a lot of churches that, as you say, preach the gospel. They're wonderful places. But you walk away from the gospel, the church becomes a different thing. It's a different animal. And you know, people who are in churches that don't follow the gospel need to really reconsider what they're doing if they know the Lord. We've had just about 3 minutes left here, and maybe it would be good here, John, if you would just maybe just say a few words about the gospel. We have 3 minutes to go here, so we can't go too long. But
the gospel has tremendous power. And with Simeon, hear me back to Simeon. When Jesus is brought to the temple to be dedicated unto the Lord and do the sacrifice, when he was a child, Simeon is there, God's divine moment. Change, the gospel of change. And Simeon takes the baby in his arms, and these are his words. Now I can die in peace. Really? For I have held him in my arms. This is what the gospel does. When you embrace Jesus, the gospel, the good news, when you embrace him, fear of death is gone. I can die in peace. I have held him, and he holds me, and henceforth, the light shines, and the gospel is heard, and he becomes the messenger. And Simeon talks to anybody who's coming by. This is him. This is the one. This is the savior of the world. Life comes. So I love the idea, the thought, and the message is clear in the gospel. When you embrace Jesus, he embraces you, and you can live in power, and you can die in peace, for you are at peace with God. You have become friends with the one who loves you enough to die for you. That's the changed life when you possess him and he possesses you.
It's a wonderful thing, the gospel. I was, as you were talking there, this last week, John, I got a phone call from a friend of ours, and I called a lady. Her husband had just died. When I pastored in Miami, we had several pastors on the staff. It was a large church. We had several pastors. One of the men I interviewed was a police officer, and he had retired, wasn't going to ministry. And I said, well, do you have any credentials? He said, no, but I won't go to the ministry. He became our finest soul winner on the staff.
Isn't that nice?
And he passed just recently, but this other man came to me, and I knew he's a great man of God. His name was George Granda. And George was a postman, worked in the post office. Mm-hmm. He said, I want to go into the ministry. Well, we brought him on our staff, and I left there. He took a church, a Spanish church, and the people loved him. It was booming down there. And he's gotten sick and just passed. I talked to his wife, and there was such a peace in that whole family because of his obedience to do the Lord's will in his life. And it's such a beautiful thing.
Nothing better than that.
John, I'm going to have you back, okay? Is that our promise? I'm going to commit you, all right?
Okay.
I'm
going to
have you back often is what I'm saying, John. So
it's always good to talk about the Lord.
Stay well.
Yeah.
You've been listening in to Life Change Weekend. So glad you've been listening in. Keep writing to us. We have some beautiful emails I didn't get to today, but we thank you for those of you that write in and those of you that send gifts in for our pastors in Myanmar and our pastors in Africa. We thank you for all that you do. Appreciate it so very much. And don't forget, Monday through Friday, we have the daily edition of Life Change called Life Change Today, as we study the Word of God together. I do Monday through Thursday. Then we have one of our colleagues help us on Friday. Have a great weekend. God bless you. And remember, life changes for everybody.
Amen.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry. which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.